It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. I'm your host, Paul, and alongside regular contributor, Dave, we'll be exploring a recent rare thunder snow storm in Toronto. The so-called Snowmageddon event of 1999 that required the Canadian Army to clear up. Toronto's past and recent mayors gone wild. And the possible connection to a supermassive runaway black hole the size of 20 million suns speeding through our galaxy. And the theoretical consequences of falling into it. So let's get into the first exhibit, inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
The wind is wicked. The snow has been building up throughout the evening and the conditions are worse. And we even witnessed a weather phenomenon.
Because of the types of tires or vehicles that they're driving. So, thundersnow. That's thundersnow.
Yeah, that right there, lightning and thunder. They've been reported around the GTA tonight as the storm blows through. The CN Tower has also been hit by lightning tonight. And right now, let's bring in CP24 meteorologist Chris Potter, who's tracking this storm for us. Chris, we were here, we heard the thunder, we saw the lightning. Is this wild? Like, what's going on in the atmosphere right now?
Yeah, I think the last time I was actually in the city itself for thunder snow was, I think, 4 years ago. And, so it doesn't happen every single winter. It obviously doesn't happen every storm. But with the right conditions, the right mechanisms, the right dynamics, and upper air instability, you do get it. And when that happens, you actually encounter a thunderstorm. It's usually accompanied with heavy snow, and that's what we're seeing. And if you're curious, thunder snow, you can't use that as a band name. Retired breakfast host George Logajenis and I, we coined it. We took it.
So Dave, first of all, welcome. Welcome back to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. It's always a sincere pleasure to have you here.
It's fantastic to be here. The colors are just out of this world.
Yeah, I think they're extra iridescent today. And here in Toronto, we have the privilege to witness recently the most amazing weather phenomenon. And something that you had spoken about in a previous episode, as a matter of fact, it's called episode nine, Encounters with Danger, in which you describe an encounter with thunder snow. And we just experienced here in Toronto and in other parts of Ontario and the States as well, this weather phenomenon called thunder snow, which is essentially a thunder and lightning storm when it's snowing.
The entire air becomes electric, sparking purple power waves. That the snow made sound, and it's very significant snow.
Yeah, so we got like a 30 centimeters of snow in Toronto, which is not very common. As a matter of fact, it was like the most for a number of years. But again, it had this amazing thunder snow for hours. We were treated to fantastic lightning flashes and deep, ominous, thunderous roll, slow rolling.
This time I touched no metal. I was cautious.
Right. You're referring to what happened to you the last time you encountered the very rare weather phenomenon, thundersnow, years ago. And the story that you told us about in a previous episode, episode 9, encounters with danger, where you recall the time you apparently were hit by lightning during a thunder snowstorm. Let's revisit that story.
The clouds roll in and a snowstorm, and it's suddenly it's cracking thunder and electricity is flying everywhere. I was skating and like nobody else was out on the rink, and it had like a chain link fence all around it, and I was like skating hard, and like the thunder was rolling across the horizon like this giant expanse of electricity.
Really?
I've got this little tiny blue AM radio. Suddenly I like start to hear static. And I'm like, okay, so I take off the headphones and I like grab the chain link fence to lean back and stretch my back like, you know, the first step in the sun salutation, you know? And as soon as I touch the fence, electricity rolls directly through me. And like my radio goes, and I get thrown back. And I'm like, there's like nothing there for like 15 minutes.
Were you missing time for 15 minutes or nothing? What do you mean nothing happened for 15 minutes?
Well, I don't know. But like when I came back and the AM radio came on, it was 15 minutes later.
So in that thunder snow event that you described, you were apparently zapped by the thunder snow lightning and possibly were missing some time.
Getting hit by lightning and thundersnow is not like getting hit with a bolt. It's getting the whole air is active with electricity, and if you touch anything metallic, you can, it'll all channel through you. You become the ground, and then you hit the ground.
So unlike a lightning bolt that kind of has a very narrow field of strike, the lightning flashes from thundersnow. It electrifies and excites the air all around you. And if you're touching metal like you were back in years ago, not recently, but years ago.
Yeah.
And it sent you flying backwards like many, many feet to a snowbank.
And it messed with my AM radio.
But none of that happened this time because we were prepared for this thunder snow. We heard about it. It was advertised.
I was a little nervous that cop seemed so scared when the thunder hit. Like, is he afraid of thunderstorms? Is that why he carries a gun now?
Well, I have to say, I was walking around. Lee and I were walking around outside during the thunder snow, and when it would occur, it was startling. It was unusual to the, you know, it wasn't like a normal thunderstorm where, you know, you're not unlikely to be startled that much, unless it was a huge thunderclap. But it is a strange sensation.
Well, there can be these like super booms, and the boom, you feel it like the whole, your energy kind of shake, like rise up and drop, like you're in an airplane that hit an air bubble or whatever. And it makes a really loud noise, like, you know, a bus just hit into a building right behind you. What would be awesome would be to be like out right in its heart. It's a beautiful word too, thundersnow. And it's not two words, it's one word, right?
It's one word. It's a phenomena unto itself.
It's probably a sign.
At any given moment, there are 1,800 thunderstorms going on in the Earth's atmosphere. But one of the rarest kinds is thunder snow. It's a strange and powerful combination. Thunder and lightning during a snowstorm.
Oh! Listen to that!
Thundersnow, lightning strikes, holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball, but I'll take this thundersnow. Lightning strikes, holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago all over again. Yes, listen to that. Thundersnow.
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 Thundersnow,
thundersnow, thundersnow. Listen to that!
this thunder, snow, and snowstorm event apparently has nothing on Snowmageddon that occurred in Toronto in 1999, where so much snow fell on the city that the city's mayor had to bring in the army with trucks to come in to pick up the snow and dump it in the lake.
It was ridiculous. Send in the army? Just get out some shovels.
Winter is coming for Game of Thrones fans, and 20 years ago, it certainly came to Toronto.
It did. That's when a major storm hit our city, and then the mayor called in the army. It was a decision talked about across the country and the world. Political analyst Jim Warren was at City Hall when Mayor Lastman made that decision 2 decades ago now. Wow.
Another big story that's still all around us tonight, the snow. Wish it would all disappear. Well, Mayor Mel says it's going to start going off our side streets first thing Sunday morning in the city center. Anita Rajpal has the scoop.
8 o'clock Sunday morning, side streets will see 20 extra crews working their way to remove the snow on the residential streets. A combination of blowers, front end loaders, and dump trucks will be used. Approximately 20 additional pieces of snow removal equipment supplied by the Canadian Forces will be available.
With all those streets to worry about, it's easy to lose sight of the snow's punishing impact on the individuals who live on them. Videographer Beatrice Stuckey looked into that tonight and joins us live from one Midtown neighborhood. Beatrice?
Hi, Mark. I'm just on Yonge Street, right up from the Chum City building. That's where I focus tonight to find out how the streets are affecting the real people.
There's no way! Get in there!
I guess you're pretty upset with this whole thing?
Well, we just let 3 cars pass, so, yeah.
What's your suggestion? What do you think they should do in this street?
In this street? They should get those tanks they brought down. Just take them all out.
Where would you put the snow?
The snow? I guess in the lake.
All right, thanks, Beatrice. To get up any and every street in town tonight, the Canadian Forces have booted up their big bisons. Never one to miss a photo op, Mayor Mel made like General Patton in one of the big machines up at the Townsview Air Base.
That's hard-hitting journalist question, asking some dude sitting in the back of a car, where do they put the snow?
Asking some stoner, where do you think they... And he suggested they should bring the tanks down because, again, the mayor Lastman had to bring in the tanks in order to clear roads, in order to make it possible for cars to drive to, like, the hospital or, like... Anyway, so that was the story of Armageddon, Snowmageddon in 1999.
I've never seen Mayor Mel in the tank. That's
the only thing I remember, too, is Mayor Mel in the tank is driving down, like, Queen Street with, like, 10 feet of snow piled on either side.
Maybe they're just trying to build the confidence of the Canadian Army, you know? It's defeat the snowbank, okay? Like, it never shoots back. They can claim a victory, stick a flag in there, and go, all right, well, we saved Toronto from a pile of white powder snow. But it feels strange to me. Like, it's like they've forgotten that we live in Canada, and this is a winter city, and it snowed every single winter that I've been here. And they continue to freak out every time it snows. I don't remember that being the case for a while, like before, like nine. This was probably the shift, right? When Mayor Mel rode the tanks across Queen Street, you know, what he didn't realize is he had like a giant warehouse filled with plows, but he forgot about those ones. So the tanks, and I mean, do the tanks even have, I guess they probably have plow attachments? Or were they just driving over the snow over and over again until it sort of pushed out of their way? And since when can the mayor of a city call in the army? I didn't know about that. Is that still... Why didn't Rob Ford do that when he was in power? And he was in that crack war or whatever. I'm going to call in the tanks for that shit.
The mayor of Toronto came forward today to admit he smoked crack cocaine. He faced the cameras and asked that he get to stay and go forward. Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis.
It's the admission heard round the world.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
For months, Rob Ford, the embattled mayor of Toronto, has been dogged by allegations that he'd been caught on tape smoking crack. And today, the mayor of Canada's biggest city came clean.
Am I an addict? No. When have you? Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
Just hours later, he fell on the sword again.
Admitting it was the most difficult and embarrassing thing I have ever had to do.
Or when the star broke the John Tory affair story, calling the tanks and surround the Star building.
And we begin tonight with breaking news. The mayor of Toronto, John Tory, announcing that he's stepping down shortly after revelations he had an affair with a staffer. The Toronto Star first reporting that Tory had the relationship for months during the pandemic. Tonight, he called it a serious error in judgment.
We got to change that. Someone's got to call that out. The mayor shouldn't have a direct line to tanks. Too much power for a crazy mayor.
That is a lot of power, and if it went unchecked. And how many other mayors of other cities have the power to call an army? Or even perhaps the Air Force?
The Air Force would be amazing. It's just a little button on the Toronto mayor's desk that scrambles the fighter jets. Because if the tanks don't work, we're going to have to take that snow out with air power. Well, no matter where they put it, it ends up in the lake. That's the whole idea. The city just drains into that lake. So why would they carry it there? They have sewers for that shit, man.
But do you think maybe they took the advice of that kid in the back of the car that the reporter approached?
I guess you're pretty upset with this whole thing?
Well, we just let three cars pass, so yeah.
What's your suggestion? What do you think they should do in this street?
In this street? They should get those tanks they brought down. Just take them all out.
Where would you put the snow?
The snow? I guess in the lake.
Clearly, he was the expert, and the reporter was the hard-hitting investigative journalist asking all the right questions. Where are they gonna do? What are they gonna do with that snow? Where are they gonna move it? Where are we gonna ship it to Detroit and put it in the same place where we put our garbage and pay them by the ton?
Right? Can you imagine shipping snow down the highway in trucks?
Yeah, we're gonna drive it in a train as south until it melts. Load it on a train. Let's get it at least as far as Tennessee. It'll start melting by the time we hit Georgia. And then we got an empty load to refill and the train cars are clean.
Or even you can sell it as Canadian bottled water.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Okay, this headline here. Runaway black hole the size of 20 million suns found speeding through space, with a trail of newborn stars behind it. And this is an article in LieScience.com. Astronomers have discovered a runaway black hole, potentially the first observational evidence that supermassive black holes can be ejected from their host galaxies.
Astronomers have spotted a runaway supermassive black hole, seemingly ejected from its home galaxy and racing through space with a chain of stars trailing in its wake. According to AR14, the discovery offers the first observational evidence that supermassive black holes can be ejected from their home galaxies to roam interstellar space. The researchers discovered the runaway black hole as a bright streak of light while using the Hubble Space Telescope to observe the dwarf galaxy RCP28, located about 7.5 billion light-years from Earth. The streak measures more than 200,000 light-years long, roughly twice the width of the Milky Way, and is thought to be made of compressed gas that is actively forming stars. The gas trails a black hole estimated to measure 20 million times the sun's mass and is speeding away from its home galaxy at 3.5 million miles per hour, 5.6 million kilometers per hour, or roughly 4,500 times the speed of sound. The team concluded that the explanation that best fits the streak is a supermassive black hole blasting through the gas surrounding its galaxy while compressing it enough to trigger star formation in its wake. The lead study author Peter Van Dokkum, a professor of physics and astronomy at Yale University, told the media if confirmed, it would be the first time that we have clear evidence that supermassive black holes can escape from galaxies.
Was it ejected or did it run away? That's what's not clear here. There's, at one point they're saying it was ejected, like it's been banished, and now it's just on the move and it could stop anywhere and cause trouble. Or is it a runaway black hole where it's like trying to escape something worse? And what could cause black hole to run like that? What could scare it in such a manner?
A runaway black hole the size of 20 million suns.
20 million suns. That is, let's just think about the epic size of one sun. 20 million suns?
Yeah, that sounds pretty big.
That's not a black hole. That's like a black chasm. That's a galaxy eater.
The researchers discovered the runaway black hole as a bright streak of light while they were using the Hubble telescope to observe it. It's 7.5 billion light years from Earth, and we're talking there's some big numbers here.
The Hubble's still in action, or did they when they put up the new one, did they leave the Hubble?
Well, that was what I was wondering. This is a new story. You can see that the dateline on this
11 days ago. So no one told me they kept the Hubble in action. They're just using it to track black hole. They're just really worried about this black hole that's run away. Someone's got to bring it home to its mama.
The streak behind this massive black hole, the streak of planets, measures more than 200,000 light years long, roughly twice the width of the Milky Way. Again, that's some big numbers.
Yes.
20 million times the mass of the sun.
The mass of the sun. That's a heavy beast.
Yeah, black holes on the move.
Maybe we need Dr. Science to tell us what a black hole is.
And why would it run away?
And if it didn't run away, why would it be ejected? Seems like a powerful thing to have to eject.
Black holes are among the most fascinating objects in our universe, and also the most mysterious. A black hole is a region in space where the force of gravity is so strong, not even light, the fastest known entity in our universe, can escape. The boundary of a black hole is called the event horizon, a point of no return, beyond which we truly cannot see. When something crosses the event horizon, it collapses into the black hole's singularity, an infinitely small, infinitely dense point where space, time, and the laws of physics no longer apply. Supermassive black holes are giants measuring millions, even billions of times more massive than our sun. Scientists can only guess how they form, but we do know they exist at the center of just about every large galaxy, including our own. An untold number of black holes are scattered throughout the universe, constantly warping space and time, altering entire galaxies, and endlessly inspiring both scientists and our collective imagination.
Wow. So, wait a minute. So, black holes are definitely at the center of galaxies, and including our own.
They're not planet eaters. They're planets. They're like basically birthing planets.
Or is it the other way around? Like, in which way is the spiral in a spiral galaxy like our own, which at the center of it is a black hole, is it spiraling towards the supermassive black hole, pulling everything into it, including light?
So basically, we're eventually all going to be sucked into a black hole.
All going to be sucked into a black hole, but wouldn't we be spit out the other side of it, though? Like from a white hole, like another Big Bang in a parallel universe, or...
I think that's right. Maybe we're all just like, you know, gut bacteria. Come in one way, shot out the other.
Or perhaps it's like, you know, the toilet water flushes the other direction in Australia.
It spins like the Milky Way. Maybe there's a black hole in the center of the Earth, too. What about those mini black holes always scare me?
Oh, yes, the mini black holes. We learned in another episode that there's mini black holes hitting the Earth every day, but they're small enough that they don't like cause, I guess, any problem. They just got to hit harmlessly and just fly right through the Earth with no problem.
Given how much dark matter we know there is in the Milky Way, we calculate that there's probably around 10 to the power of 18 kilograms of dark matter in the solar system at any given time. If that dark matter is tiny black holes, then we might expect dozens, maybe even thousands of them to be in the solar system right now. And just like asteroids, some of them will quite literally cross paths with the Earth. So, what happens if a tiny black hole hits the Earth? This PBH would be small. Its event horizon, its surface of no return, would be around the size of an atom, and it would be moving fast when it hit the Earth. It must have fallen in from interstellar space, and so should be traveling from several tens to hundreds of kilometers per second. It would punch straight through the planet like a bullet through cotton candy, barely slowing down in the process.
So what is it, a break in the continuum of space?
Yeah, or is it like a kind of conduit between universes? When a galaxy collapses in on its black hole and it's all gone, it creates a gigantic big bang on the other side of the black hole. But in that universe, time is reversed.
Like Benjamin Button? If you were born as a baby and time is reversed, you just get younger and younger and younger until you're the smallest little baby. But really, really wise, but under 1 millimeter. Black hole is a super force of gravity that everything gets sucked into.
Including light.
Including light. The boundary of a black hole is the event horizon. And once you're in the black hole, everything is drawn to a single point, the singularity. And the singularity means you are free from the laws of the physical universe. Everything's off the table by that point. There's no more rules. Like, everything is there. Anything is possible. So that tells me a few things. One is, the existence we're in here is not the choice place to be. Like, the laws of physics, the boundaries and limitations been imposed upon everything around us,
existence as we know it.
But really, once you get in the black hole, all bets are off. It's parties all the time. You can do whatever that you want. You can float. You can eat. You don't need to eat. You don't need anything, but you need everything. You've got everything. But you've got nothing because you need nothing. I think everyone's the Buddha in the black hole.
But what would happen if one of us fell into a black hole? Should we find out?
How much do you know about black holes? What would happen if you fell into one? Say one day you were exploring space, looking for a new planet for humans to inhabit, but came across a black hole and decided, why not check it out? Would you have any chance of survival? How would you get out? Would there be a shortcut to another universe? Every black hole has an event horizon, the point at which gravitational pull becomes so strong you can't escape from it, the point of no return. As you start being pulled toward a black hole, you'd be moving faster and faster, accelerated by the force of gravity. If you happen to be pulled towards a stellar black hole, you'd be completely torn apart before you even reach the event horizon. So make sure to choose a supermassive one, the one that's a million times heavier than our sun. In this case, your body would remain unharmed as you cross the event horizon, as the gravity would be pulling both your feet and your head with almost the same strength. But don't pack your suitcase just yet. Crossing the event horizon is just the beginning of the challenge. There's a gravitational singularity at the center of the black hole, where density becomes infinite. You'd be squashed into that center and become one with the black hole. You wouldn't be able to tell anyone about your experience. Even when the black hole eventually died, emitting all the particles it had absorbed, including your body, it would be impossible to tell whether those particles were you. Stephen Hawking, however, found a way in which the information about your body wouldn't be lost. He theorized that there are alternative universes with different histories. This means, in one reality, you fell into a black hole. In the second one, there was no black hole. If you crossed the event horizon and there was a black hole, sayonara. But if you happen to be in a reality where the black hole didn't exist, you'd still be alive, just in a different universe.
By the time you're floating in space, it doesn't even matter if you're going to fall into a black hole. You're fucked if you're floating in space.
You would have to think that as you got closer and closer to the black hole, we're talking about distances so immense that our brains cannot conceive. Like, you would adapt to this intense gravity, wouldn't you? Because by the time you get closer to the black hole, you'd be like maybe a dense metal or like Gumby. You could be easily stretched.
Probably really pissed off from floating alone in space adrift for like years. And you're like, oh, fucking now a black hole. Maybe it would be welcomed by that point. I don't know.
If you happen to be pulled towards a stellar black hole, you'd be completely torn apart before you even reach the event horizon. So make sure to choose a supermassive one. The one that's a million times heavier than our sun. In this case, your body would remain unharmed as you cross the event horizon.
Oh, so they're saying the supermassive ones are the good ones to get to the next day.
Yeah, you want to, if you're going to, yeah, like perhaps travel to another universe through a black hole, you want to look for the supermassive ones, just like the one we've been mentioning that's traveling around right now. It's a mass of 20 million suns. So it qualifies.
We're saying that the black hole could be a portal to another universe. It's gone rogue, running through the universe, is heading towards us. And this could be our opportunity to finally travel to the other dimension.
It seems that it's theoretically possible, yes.
Now, would we have to intercept in space, or will it just swallow the Earth? I have a feeling it's going to swallow the Earth. So we're all in this together. Like, it's not going to be like a few people who are going to get out, like, I'm going to send Bruce Willis and Fabio and Carolyn Mulroney up there or something. It's going to come and take the whole planet down. So we'll be out there together, like in the other universe. You know, you could be having coffee with Putin.
How will we know we're in the other universe, though?
I don't know. I could say that you'll definitely know you're no longer Kansas or whatever. Our current reality as we know it would be totally gone. All you would see is what's never been seen before. The darkness would be filled with light. The light filled with darkness. The upside would be pointing downwards. And that there'd probably be like giant turkeys in the ocean and fish walking on land. But you wouldn't need land or ocean because everything would be sky. It would be raining rocks.
You'd be swimming in stone oceans.
You'd be walking with steel umbrellas across insane canals of lava and ice mixing in a current of pure acid.
You are listening to The Kaleidoscope Gallery. The Kaleidoscope Gallery.
If you go to a black hole, you want to bring like a couple of granola bars, a bottle of water, maybe a flask of whiskey. Things getting fucking rough. A couple of dried food.
packs, some of that space ice cream.
Well, fair warning, once you hear this, you cannot unhear it. NASA is releasing audio of what a black hole sounds like, and it's a little terrifying.
So what Stephen Hawking's theory says, even though the chances of surviving falling into a black hole are extremely small, but you would fall through to a parallel universe in which there was no black hole. Therefore, you would be unharmed, and you would land on the alternative universe unharmed.
Because it's got like some big mattresses down there, or like a trampoline, or...
Even though your information, your body, your identity, everything about you would be eliminated in a black hole, but a second later, less than a second later, you pop over to the other side in the parallel universe, and none of the information about your body would be lost because in that universe, there would be no black hole.
So you'd reconstitute?
Yes, you'd reconstitute perfectly.
Interesting. Maybe that's the whole thing. Like, that is... teleportation. So does the black hole remember how you were and put you back? Like, could you request like better hair on the other side? You can apply a filter probably, right? Like a, you know, make me shiny filter. As you're going through, you get like a display of TikTok filters and you can pick which one you want when you're on the other side. So is someone tracking this runaway black hole? Like, where is it coming from? Where is it going to? Do we have some kind of a place we can follow it on a Google map or some shit?
Well, this was published. This story about this runaway massive black hole with a trail of newborn stars behind it was discovered by astronomers, and it's going to be published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. And yes, they did use the Hubble Space Telescope to observe this.
We found a thin line in a Hubble image that is pointing to the center of a galaxy, lead study author Peter Van Dokkum, a professor of physics and astronomy at Yale University, told Live Science. Using the Tech Telescope in Hawaii, we found that the line and the galaxy are connected. From a detailed analysis of the feature, we inferred that we are seeing a very massive black hole that was ejected from the galaxy, leaving a trail of gas and newly formed stars.
What? Wait a minute. So ejected? Why was it ejected?
The most likely scenario that explains everything we've seen is a slingshot caused by a three-body interaction, said Van Dokkum. When three similar mass bodies gravitationally interact, the interaction does not lead to a stable configuration, but usually to the formation of a binary and the ejection of the third body.
So this is not an ejection, this is a rejection. This is a threesome.
The plot of some kind of a rom-com.
Or perhaps interstellar porn. So a threesome emerged, and then this doesn't work. So one of these massive black holes has to get rejected and sent back out into like...
to find a new mate. Not only was this thing ejected and run away, but it's also heartbroken and angry. That's not good. It's so angry, it's just spitting out stars. Those aren't going to be good stars. Those are going to be like fucking angry red dwarfs and shit.
But the heartbroken part is worrying some because, and it's heading towards Earth. It is many billions of light years away, but it is heading towards and it's moving pretty fast too.
Maybe the black hole has a little Apple Watch that's tracking its progress, like how many fucking light years it gets in every day, and it's traveled towards swallow up Earth, and it's... steal, it's find a new partner.
I think it's pretty slow. 3.5 million miles per hour in the scale of 7.5 billion light years.
How many miles in a light year? And why don't they use kilometers in space?
It really should be translated to how many light kilometers from Earth, not light years.
Kilo years?
Kilo years.
I gotta lose 25 pounds in at least 25 kilo years. So if I'm sitting in the mayor's office and I get word that this runaway black hole is coming straight for Mother Earth, I'm calling in the army right away. All the army. Like, bring in the tanks, scramble the Air Force, rustle up those subs. We should be firing torpedoes at this black hole. We should be shooting lasers at it.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, let's nuke that shit. No, I don't think that would do anything. Not going to help. But what happens to the single black hole? Does it go on some kind of black hole Tinder to hook up again? Is there a matchmaking service for dark matter? When does the singularity get engaged? Are you looking for me?
Hi, I'm Maurice. I'm an executive by day and a wild man by night.
Hi, my name's Monroe. You've probably already noticed that I have incredibly blue eyes.
Hi, my name is Phil. Most of my friends call me Big Phil.
What is the relationship between this runaway black hole and, like, Snowmageddons and Thundersnow? Is there a connection?
Maybe the Thundersnow is a sign that the runaway black hole is getting closer. And each of those thunderous booms were like a reminder we're all going to be sucked into the singularity.
And pop out the other side unscathed.
That part sounds like wishful thinking.
I'm willing to give it a go. Are you?
I don't think we're gonna have a choice. So yeah, I'll go with it.
All right.
Look, if the big supermassive black hole is coming here, and we can calculate the time between now and when it arrives, we have time to prepare. Like, we can make it dinner, start the roast, you know.
Prepare the backpack.
Pull the good wine out of the cellar. Yeah, put the Tang in the backpack so we can hike the edge of the singularity.
Did you say pull the good wine out of the cellar?
Well, yeah, you got the supermassive coming in. You're not going to drink your the cheap dollar store wine or whatever. I think we'd be surprised to see that on the other side, the human form is useless. The memories and context and learnings and evolution is totally off track. And everything that we try to do, we're no longer equipped to do because there are no rules. However, the starlight within us, the core of our soul and spirit, that will still be relevant. But what form it takes, what pains and pleasures we can muster from it, remains to be seen.
Dave, that was a very interesting jam. We touched on some hot buttons of the universe, I think.
Yeah, we may have gotten a little closer to the grand truths and where we're all going. And it's somewhat exciting and disturbing at the same time to know that giant black hole is running at us and it's in a bad mood.
We hope you have enjoyed this excursion through the Kaleidoscope Gallery, and that you'll join us again next time.
You have been listening to the many colors of the Kaleidoscope Gallery.